We are back with our next citizen board. We are with the Sanitary and Stormwater Authority currently, and I will turn the floor over to them. And please introduce yourselves as well.
Thank you for having me here. My name is Diane Riley, representing the Upper Marion Sanitary and Stormwater Authority as the chair. First of all, I'd like to just let you know who all of our members are. Our vice chair is Lynn Fields. Our secretary is Ed Campbell. Our treasurer is Glenn Smith, who is here. And our assistant secretary treasurer is Saul Needle. Our board liaison is Carol Kenny. Our executive secretary, Anthony Hamaday. Our solicitor is Steve Hahn. Our engineer is Fred Ciatone. Our director of finance is Amy Brouse, and our director of public works is Jeff Hickman. We'd like to ask for a moment to conduct some business for the authority before we begin. And I'm going to ask one of our members to make a motion to approve payment of requisitions for this month.
Thank you. I move to approve a payment of the requisition.
I will second.
All right. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you very much. And so the requisitions are approved. This past year has been an active one, filled with many remediation and replacement projects, as well as field trips. We continue to explore future options for sewage disposal as landfills narrow our ability to truck waste solids to their sites. We've also been able to continue a multi-year goal of replacing end-of-life components so as to avoid any and all interruptions of service concerning sewage treatment throughout the township. We have initiated a sewer rate study so as to keep current with other Pennsylvania sewer authorities, as well as continue to plan for future needs. The authority members in particular would like to thank this, and this is another topic, this supervisor board for honoring our longtime authority member, Jim Ruddy, for serving over several decades as a volunteer on the Upper Marion Advisory Committees, as well as being a member and chairman of our authority. And Jim had to step down in January, and we wanted to show the community the photo of Jim and that at the award ceremony that all of you supervisors posed with him for. And that's the photo, so thank you. I'm going to turn this over to our public works director,
Jeff Hickman.
I've got a lot of names in front of me, sorry. But first of all, I wanted to just go through our agenda, which is somewhere here. So we're going to have, we want to cover our capital projects, our sewer budgets, our, Jeff has a slideshow with charts to give you a better look at a comparison with what the township pays, as well as what the authority covers. So I'll turn it over to Jeff.
Thank you, Ms. Riley. I'd like to start by introducing some of the key personnel of the wastewater system. This is our current organizational chart. Helming the wastewater system is Rob McKernan, our chief of wastewater. And then we have three divisions under him. The first is the Trout Run Treatment Plant, the Water Pollution Control Center, that is supervised by Matt DeSimone. Our Municipal Industrial Pretreatment Program is run by Janet Hiriak, and then Mark Bale runs the MatSunk Treatment Plant. Two things I'd like to mention just about this before we move on. There's only four names on this chart. It represents over 100 years of wastewater experience. So Rob McKernan has been doing this for 47 years. Both Janet and Mark have over three decades each of wastewater experience. So we are truly blessed to have the team here that work to keep this running day in and day out. The other thing that I'll mention is this is a slight change from last year. We had one division, our collection system, that is now absorbed and split between Trout Run and MatSunk. So formerly there were operators at the plants, and then we also had wastewater laborers that were managing the collection system. Now, if you're at a plant, you're both working at that plant as well as going out to the pump stations and managing our sewer mains and laterals. One other thing that's new this year, as Mrs. Riley mentioned, I wanted to give a full picture of the investment that Upper Marion makes into its wastewater system. So the columns that you see in blue represent the authority's annual budget. Those pictured in orange are the township's sewer capital program. And then in gray is the township's operating program. All told, we're investing about $4 million or more each year in the wastewater system here in Upper Marion. There are a couple things that I want to just mention for the budget geeks that may be in the room too. One thing that you should know is the way our system is set up, basically it is owned by the authority, but it is operated and maintained by township personnel. So part of that, there is a lease payment that the township pays to the authority every year. So that's kind of double counted when you have a chart like this where we are drawing directly from the budgets. The other thing that I'll just note, and this affects the authority more than the township, but is true for both. Capital projects can often span multiple fiscal years. So there will be a budget carryover from one year to the next. So this is the total amount in blue that is spent every year. Sometimes that can be a carryover of $1 million from one year to the next. So I just want to make those two things clear, just for those that are trying to track this in an actual budget. Now moving on to our first capital project, and this is the largest one that we are undertaking this year, and it's very significant for us. This is a $2.5 million upgrade to our headworks. The headworks are the front end of our treatment plants. This is the equipment that intercepts debris before it arrives into our plant. So the equipment that you see pictured here, this is known as a flex rake or a bar screen. It gets put into the channel, and then it is scraping away any debris that is trying to enter into the plant. And when I say debris, what I'm really talking about are what are marketed as flushable wipes. They are anything but. They wreak havoc on our system. They have already caused hundreds of thousands of dollars of damage to the authority's motors, drives, pumps, and more. And so it necessitated the installation of equipment like this in order to protect the rest of the treatment plant. It is being performed right now by Blooming Glen, the general contractor, and BSI, the electrician. And this was a long lead item. We've been waiting over 8 months for this material to arrive on site. It is being delivered this month, and this project will be completely online in the fall of this year. Next is a project we spoke about at the last joint meeting, but it wrapped up in January of this year. And that was the final phase of the Candlebrook Sanitary Sewer Main Replacement Project. For the last 3.5 years, we have been in the Candlebrook neighborhood, either lining the pipes or ripping out and replacing those that were in need of that extent of repair. What you see pictured here is the segment on Prince Frederick. That ended up being one of the most challenging in the entire 3-year history of this project. That project last year cost a little over $1 million. And with this, we hope that we don't have to be in Candlebrook for the next 20 years. So fingers crossed. The next, although this is considered a capital project, this really is a study, and it's the first undertaken of its kind in Upper Marion. This is a sewer rate study. We engaged a consultant, Keystone Alliance, for $45,000. Keystone has done sewer rate studies across the Commonwealth. In fact, one of the things that we learned as we've gone through this process, they have looked at 120 different wastewater systems. Upper Marion's sewer rate is currently the 5th lowest in the state. And that's tremendous. What that also means, I think you can say that we either are one of or we are the most efficiently run wastewater system in the state of Pennsylvania. But with that, we do have infrastructure obligations and making sure that we are staying, you know, up to keeping things maintained at the appropriate level. And that's the purpose of this rate study, looking at what the rate should be, especially over the next 5 years and the capital improvements that we're planning on making. And we're also going to take a look at the structure of the fee, because that has not been looked at in quite some time. Is a flat rate appropriate? Is there some other approach that is warranted? Those items will be included in the report, and those findings will be shared with both the authority and the board hopefully in the summer of this year. Another study that was undertaken is the Abrams Drainage Basin Flow Study. And for a minute, I want you to look at the background of this slide where you see the image of Upper Merion. The western third of Upper Merion is the Trout Run Drainage Basin. The eastern third is the Maxsunk Drainage Basin. And the middle third is what we call the Abrams Drainage Basin. Another way to think of it is it's kind of like the Crow Creek watershed. That is our largest drainage basin in the township. All of that wastewater flows to the Abrams pumping station. What's unique about that is the station that allows us to divert flows either to Trout Run or to Maxsunk. So what does the flow study accomplish? We're looking at the size of our pipes and the capacity of our conveyance system to make sure that we are not overloading it, that we are staying ahead of the development that we've seen over decades in Upper Merion. And I'm happy to report the results of that study are that we, at least this drainage basin, still has the appropriate capacity and we are not overloading our system. We will probably conduct similar studies on the other drainage basins in future years. One thing that happened last year that spawned the next study that I'm going to talk about, which is the sewer main condition assessment. We had a sewer main that leads to Maxsunk collapse. And as we investigated, we found out that the sewer gases inside that pipe, H2S, also known as hydrogen sulfide, had eaten away at the pipe to the extent that it actually collapsed over time. When that occurred, it made us pause and reflect, well, where else could this be happening in our system? And so that's why we've undertaken this condition assessment. What you see pictured here is an example of a segment where we send a scout, sometimes it's a drone, sometimes it's a camera, through the sewer pipe to look at the condition of the pipe material. If there is any deterioration, note it, and then that will be teed up for a future capital project. So this segment right here is in the Moore Park area in First Avenue, basically runs from Tredyffrin as you head past the casino and then down toward the Trout Run treatment plant. Two PSAs that I'd like to talk about. One builds on the condition assessment that I just mentioned. Once we have the final results of that in about a month or two, then we're going to turn that over to Arrow, our wastewater consultant, and they will review the information and tee up a sanitary sewer main replacement project wherever we find a need in the study area. The other PSA that they were just approved to pursue is, and this is something that the authority has been working on year after year, we have 18 either clarifier drives or sludge thickeners at our two treatment plants. For the last 4 or 5 years, we've been replacing clarifier drives one by one, two by two. And this is the next phase of that, where we're going to tackle two or three clarifier drive replacements. Arrow will complete the design of that by the fall of this year, and then we will issue it for construction. The last thing that I would like to just highlight are the judicial and legislative items that we've been tracking for far too long, I would say. The first is the Westchester case, and for those that are unfamiliar, in 2023, a lower court classified the Borough of Westchester's stormwater fee not as a fee, but as a tax. This has now been appealed all the way up to the Supreme Court. The oral arguments were heard in September of 2024, and we still have not received their decision. The rumor is we will receive it later this year, but we've heard that before. The other item and is the WIPES Act, and this is where I'd like to pause for a second. There is no agreement at the federal level today between Democrats and Republicans. This is a true bipartisan piece of legislation where, and it is now passed both the House and the Senate, is now in the reconciliation. But what this bill does, it compels wipe manufacturers to label it as non-flushable. In order to protect the wastewater system, while we are experiencing, you know, that damage and we are teeing up a $2.5 million project to combat it, we are not alone. This is happening across the nation, and we hope that this piece of legislation will be one small step to help reduce that threat to our wastewater infrastructure. This concludes the projects that I want to discuss with the board and the authority tonight, pending any questions that you all may have.
I have a question for Carol, please.
I just want to make two points on the last slide. When you mentioned the Supreme Court in the Westchester case, that's the Pennsylvania Supreme Court.
Yes.
Not the U.S. Supreme Court. But conversely, I believe the Wastewater Infrastructure Pollution Prevention, the WIPES, is national, correct?
Correct.
Okay, I just wanted to make that clear. And I think I had one other comment. Question. Since we have been posting advertisements on outside the township building about the wipes, don't flush them, they're in our newsletter, we're trying to get the word out, I think it's on the TV as well. Have you noticed any decrease in the amount of wipes that are coming through the system? Is that working?
To be honest.
Yeah, the decrease has been negligible.
Negligible.
Yes.
So they're not listening to the message?
No.
Right.
No.
Could I follow up on that real quick?
Sure.
Just to make sure I understand completely, the WPCC Headworks project, and maybe I'm thrown off a little bit by the image. That's the project with the gates that have been are being installed?
Yes, correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And that is something that I think we budgeted for three, and
it came in a little bit, only two and a half million.
So where I'm going with this is recently I was speaking at an event, and there was a significant tax increase last year, and somebody was asking me what they could do to offset taxes. And I think somebody actually came to the Board of Supervisors last year in budget season with the same thing. And, I was going to the answer with, well, you spend your money in the township because you BPT and LST and the money flows through the economy and what have you. And then I said, no, besides that, and that's definitely true, but even if you spend $100,000, it's still a very small amount. Just don't do stupid stuff. I mean, don't throw stuff down the toilet bowl that's not supposed to be thrown down the toilet bowl. Don't throw out your cigarettes and the mulch on 202. I mean, just don't do this stuff that, we have to spend money to fix along with time and resources. And by the way, none of our employees should really have to fish out from other people's I mean, just be a little bit more responsible. I mean, it's really not that hard. I mean, that's all I got, so.
I was hoping the answer to Carol's question of has there been a decrease in the amount of wipes being flushed, but apparently
it's
not.
And, disappointing.
And I was wondering is there going to be any kind of class action lawsuit? Because, I mean, that's deceptive. It says flushable. So I think people might think, like, they must not be talking about this box because it does say flushable. So for a consumer's point of view, they're reading it like that. So I think there should be some...
I truly think that's the main issue, and probably why we're not seeing a significant decrease, because when they buy the package, it says that it's flushable.
Flushable,
yeah.
Yes.
Aren't there some lawsuits,
yes,
though?
There are at least three that I'm aware of that are suing
the companies.
Well,
Kimberly
the companies
Clark
changed.
And so on.
Costco and there are a couple of other, Walmart, I think,
promised
to only carry non-flushable wipes. And I went to Costco and there's a package there and it says, do not flush. But in small print, underneath, on the other side, you'd have to really look at the print. They said, in some places, you may be able to do this. So it's a mixed message. And the problem with the class action suits is they've been these three stores or those three entities. So it is not across the whole country.
Yep.
And I think this law may be our only saving grace. Actually, in our last meeting, we did discuss a brochure that we'd like to be able to include maybe in the July billing for sewer. It was a full color brochure, and we were going to look into seeing if we could publish the same thing. It shows the whole system, everything that can go down a toilet and everything else in our house, our sinks, oil, and food products. It shows the whole system and shows what you cannot and should not ever throw into our sewage system. So we're hoping to get that produced that we can share with the whole community.
I wonder if we could even go the reverse route and these are the only things that you should flush or send down the drain. So toilet paper only.
That's right.
Yeah.
Small number of things.
Maybe approaching it from the other end of it.
One of the things I found out at Earth Day last summer or last April, when I was there at a table, I talked to a woman who said that there was nothing she could do about her five-year-old who was throwing things in the toilet. And I had a short conversation and I said, well, again, this is an education that everybody needs to teach their children as well as their older parents, anybody at all who's never learned that lesson. So I think it's an educational goal of ours to spread the word that our sewage system is in trouble and we don't want to spend any more money.
Maybe actually lead with the money and say $2.570 million township cost, that's X dollars per household. Thank you for contributing from your hard-earned money. No, and that's how you want to reduce it. And
grab the attention.
You go, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll do that, actually.
It's all yours now, right? Yeah, run with it.
You could write the copy.
Flush with it. I'm curious about the sewer rate. So amazing that we're the fifth lowest in the state, whoever would have thought that. I never would have imagined that. But I was wondering, where are we as far as our capital improvements? Are we not keeping up? So sometimes being the lowest, if you're not able to take care of what you need to take care of, then maybe there's something wrong with our model. So I wanted to ask where we are with...
It's a dangerous question to ask a public works director because we're always going to want more money.
Well, yes, realistically.
Yes. Realistically, what this means, I'll use an example of the clarifier drives. Some of them are 40 years old. I mean, they're practically as old as I am. And the fact of the matter is, like, they probably should have been replaced at year 2025. These are the risk decisions that we have to make on, can we get another year out of it, or is this going to fail? And so I would say that we have, you know, been able to stay on top, but we can't do what we've always done and, you know, get away with it. So I think that the study is going to recommend, you know, an increase. To what extent, I really can't say. Part of that is going to be, you know, as we basically try to capture the next 5 years worth of capital expenses and figure out what's the size of a rate that would allow that to occur.
Do you want to go into a little detail of the potential to switching how we bill?
The flat rate.
The flat to the usage.
Yes. Yeah. So there are two main models, maybe a third as well. One is a flat fee, which is basically what we have here right now. The second is a usage-based fee. And the way that that gets implemented, you kind of assume that the water that's going in is the water that's going out. So you rely on the meters from Aqua or Pennsylvania American, and then you're going to adjust the rate accordingly. The third is a hybrid approach where you're using, you know, a combination of the two. As an example, you could have a flat fee for residents and then a usage fee for commercial interests, for example. There are a couple different ways it can be done. And honestly, I think that this will be some of the conversations that the authority has next with a consultant to try to tease out what is fair, equitable for, you know, the users of our system.
Looking forward to that conversation that you'll have. Goodness, a report about it. Yeah. Who would ever thought that this would be interesting information to discuss and to learn about? But it is. It's fascinating.
I speak about it at parties. Everyone to know.
We're fun at parties.
One quick question. The materials of the products being used on the Prince Frederick Street project, for instance, we all believe that products today are built with a little less longevity built into them than they were in the past. You said that we maybe can get these for 20 years, 25 years. What's a realistic turnaround time for these kinds of product or life expectancy for these kinds of projects today? You know, so does that go into your rate making or rate analysis for a future?
What I would say, so in my perfect world, we would develop an asset management system that would account for the age of everything that we own. And, you know, we would then be able to project, you know. So, for example, if we're doing kind of a four-year investment in Candlebrook now, I would assume, you know, 20 or 30 years from now is when we will make that investment again. But what that means is, you know, now that we've done Candlebrook, do we shift to, you know, Valley Forge or somewhere else in our
general
system.
Or, yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Can't run west or can't run east. Yeah.
Correct. Exactly. And now, one of the reasons that Candlebrook was selected to begin with was it is the vitrified clay pipe. These are like 6-foot segments of pipe. So many joints, which would allow so much infiltration to occur. So that was one of the main reasons this was targeted, and we're now solving that problem. There are others that won't have that, but on our stormwater side, for instance, where it was made out of corrugated metal pipe and it is completely deteriorated, that's gonna be an investment that we're gonna be making continually for years to come.
Thanks.
So if the township can outlaw plastic bags at the supermarket, can the same thing be done for wipes that don't indicate on the label not flushable?
I don't know if that has been done, but it's an interesting question.
It is.
Because
they're selling a product,
not
providing a service like in a restaurant. So when you go in a restaurant and you see a plastic straw, you can say to the manager, we have an ordinance against the use of that. We're not telling him he can't buy it or sell it. We're just saying it can't be used to provide a service to the customers. I'm not sure how we would do that with wipes, though.
So. There's no way to determine who did it.
Yeah. Again, I think a lot of this, and we started our conversation about wipes a couple of years ago, about educating the public. So then we sent out, with our sewer bill, a notice to everybody. So if people read that, they will know where we stand. But I think the education has only begun. We have to continue it. Teach your children well.
Well, the next notice that goes out then, as Greg suggested, put the amount that each household is being charged. But then we're going to hear from people who say, but I don't have any babies. I don't have any children. I don't use diapers. Why should I have to pay more money? That's going to happen. You know that.
Well, but we as an authority had to pay the money. But
yeah.
They're not.
Yeah.
They're still paying the same amount of money every
That's
year.
Right.
And it's obviously not just flushable wipes that people are throwing out.
And they make those wipes for everything. One of the official sponsors of the Philadelphia Eagles is my shot at Jeff is Dude Wipes.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not just baby wipes.
What are they called?
Dude Wipes.
That's the name, Dude Wipes.
Oh, I didn't know that. What are they?
Like a golf camera.
For dudes.
Yeah.
Yes.
For dudes. The same type of thing?
Yes. You mean just for,
where
guys might.
Okay. You know, well, to freshen up.
When I first moved into this town, I changed the subject too fast. My memory is the township, and I don't know how many of you were involved in this, probably not, probably in 1990 maybe, the town said that we were going to change the sewer rate because of garbage disposals using so much water. So the first thing we did was rip it out. I don't need a garbage disposal. Garbage can go in the trash can, or in my case, compost, a lot of it. So I think we've never dealt with the fact that, and I watch, a lot of people throw a lot of stuff down a drain that shouldn't be going in a garbage disposal, oil in particular, because that's another product that gums up the system. So, and again, it's about educating the public, I think.
So. Well, we've reached the end of your time segment. I don't know if there's any last minute comments you'd like to make, but
just you didn't know how interesting this board is, this authority, right? How many things that we handle.
It's very interesting.
Yes.
Okay, this time we'll take a brief recess and we'll reconvene with the next authority or our citizen board. Thank you for your attendance this evening and all that information.
Thank you.
Thank you.